John chapter 8. We're going to start reading in verse 12, but before we do, let's ask the Lord for his blessing upon his word. Let's pray. Lord, what a privilege and joy it is to know that what we need, you know. And so we pray that you would shine into our darkness. Illumine our minds. Open our eyes. Open our hearts. That we may see the glory of Christ. And that we would enter into Christ's glory. That his light would truly shine into our lives. That we may reflect him. To that end, will you bless your word to our hearts this morning? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin reading in verse 12. This is the word of God. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet, even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. And they said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, I am going away and you will seek me and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Since he said, where I am going, you cannot come. He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge. But he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world that I have heard from him. They did not understand that he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. This Father reading of God's holy and infallible word. And you'll be helped just to leave your Bibles open as we reflect on this passage together this morning. I am the light of the world. This is the second of what is known as the I am sayings of our Savior here in the Gospel of John. There are seven of them. These are unique. Now, this is not the only place where John uses this language, or I should say, John records the language of Jesus. In the very passage we read, in verse 24, we read Jesus say, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, there is no he in the original. We add the he because it doesn't make sense to us, but Jesus is literally saying, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And then again, there in verse 28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and that I do nothing of my own authority, but speak just as the Father has taught me. With these statements, Jesus is recalling and bringing to mind God's self-revelation to Moses in Exodus 3. When Moses asked the Lord, when I go to your people and they ask me, what is your name? What should I say? The Lord said to Moses, tell them, I am, have sent you. I am who I am. And so when Jesus uses the words, I am, he is saying, I am God. I am the God of the Old Testament now here. Now, what makes these seven sayings unique is that Jesus adds a description. We saw last week, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And here, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, all of these descriptions that Jesus had gives us insight into who Jesus is and what he came to do. They help us to see him more clearly. Now, why is Jesus saying to the people here, I am the light of the world? We read in verse 12, again, Jesus spoke. What is he referring to? Well, we have to go back to John 7, verse 37. There we read, on the last day of the feast, this was the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Trumpets, that celebrated the deliverance out of the wilderness journey, God's care on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The priests just carried up from the stream outside of Jerusalem a flask filled with water, and they poured it over the altar as a symbol of God's provision. The water that came from the rock. And in a lull, Jesus stood up and said, I am the one to whom this water points. So if you want your thirst quenched, come to me. The water you yearn for, the water that gives you peace and rest and satisfies your thirst, is in me. Now, there was another symbol in this ceremony. It was during the ceremony, the celebrations, that in the court of the women, there stood four huge candelabra, huge torches. They were filled with 17 gallons of oil. They were high, very high, so that it was stipulated only a young, energetic priest should climb the ladder to light these torches. The light of these candelabra was so immense that it was said that there was not a house in Jerusalem that was not lit by its light. And it was a testimony of great joy. It was said that those who are most holy would dance around the light, rejoicing in it. But now, the ceremony is over. And we read in verse 20 that Jesus spoke in the treasury of the temple was in the court of the women. You had the court of the Gentiles, where only Gentiles, not only where the Gentiles, that was the only space they could go. And then if you move further into the temple, there was a second court, the court of women. And the women were allowed to go in there, but not further. And then the men could go one step further, but not into the temple proper, because that was only for the priests. But here in the court of the women, these four candelabra torches stood, but they were dead. No longer lit. And Jesus spoke and said, I am the light of the world. Now, do you hear what he's saying? He's saying that everything that these torches pointed out is fulfilled in me. Now, what was the function of these torches? They were looking back to the glory cloud that covered God's presence among his people. The cloud that we read about that was hovering over the tabernacle that is so powerfully described as moving the peoples around. That cloud is fulfilled in Christ. He is the one. Now, we're told that when the Israelites were camped at the Red Sea, there was the pillar of cloud that led them on the way. And by night, it was a pillar of fire by which they traveled. And so, Jesus is saying that all the protection that God provided for his people in the wilderness, the light by which they walked by night, that is me. I am the one. All that those ceremonies pointed to has now been met in me. But I'm not merely the light of this nation. I am the light of the world. I am now light for all the nations of the world. All should now bask in my light. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Immediately, Jesus points out that his light will be a light that immediately removes all darkness from those who follow him. This is quite a claim. Because what is darkness? Darkness, in the book of John, stands for our rebellion, our sin that has rejected God, the human arrogance and folly that wants to live without God, wants to make life work without the light of God. John tells us that right at the beginning, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not a thing that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness have not overcome it. Here he is revealed as the light that has come. But later he would say the darkness wanted nothing to do with the light. That's who we are. We want to remain in darkness. But for those who follow the light of the world, the promise is they will not walk in darkness. Now, what is that, to follow the light of the world? Well, it begins, of course, with believing that he truly is who he claims to be. It is to believe that Jesus is the light of the world. Do you believe that this morning? That he is the light you need? That he is exactly the one you need to make sense of your life? The one you need to grasp the world in which you live. We are easily drawn into thinking that we can live by our own wisdom and understanding. It is in the air in which we breathe. Believe in yourself. You have the potential in you to be whatever you want to be. That's the gospel of our time. You don't need God. You don't need parents. You don't need anybody. In yourself, you have to believe. But there is only darkness in ourselves. That's why the light of the world came into this world. And we are told in the Gospels that when the Son of Man was lifted up, as Jesus proclaimed, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. Why? Because there on the cross, the light of the world went out. You remember, boys and girls, that in the middle of the day, 12 noon, there was only darkness that covered the face of the world. Darkness. As the Son of Man hanged on the tree. Why? Because in that moment, as Paul puts it, God made him who knew no sin to be sin. The condemnation and judgment that our sin deserve fell upon him. And that is darkness. The light of the world was extinguished. Why? Because you and I are darkness. The judgment of our sin was brought upon him. And what did that do? It snuffed him out. Do you understand the enormity of darkness? Your darkness? What does it take for you to walk in the light? It takes the light of the world to become darkness. The only way you can know light, can be walking in the light, is if God Himself bear the judgment that your sin deserve. And He did. That's the marvel, isn't it? That the light of the world has come so that he can swallow up the darkness and bring light back into our lives. Notice, whoever follows me, whoever, who is the whoever Are you part of the whoever? There's no qualification there, is there? It's one of the beautiful things we'll see. These I am sayings make clear not only that he is the only way, but it makes very clear that he is for everyone. Whoever follows me, do you need the light of the world? Do you need to be set free from the darkness that binds you, the sin that enslaves you? Come to the light of the world. Come. Whoever follows me. And the promise is you will not walk in darkness, because his light will shine into your life. Now, as the Israelites obeyed the cloud, and it's astonishing, isn't it? Because what do you know, boys and girls, what do you remember of these people as they traveled through the wilderness? They did not obey God in almost everything else. But when the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stayed put, they stayed put. They knew when to obey God's leading. And Jesus is saying to us here that when we submit to him, not only believe, but now willingly follow the light that he sheds. And notice, it is a life-giving light. It's not a light that extinguishes life, but it's a light that makes life flourish and blossom. It's a life-giving light. When we follow, when we submit to the Lord and his leading, then we have life, abundant life, through the light that he provides. Now, what does it mean? Well, that's why I had us read Paul's words in Romans 13. And it's a remarkable passage, which, by the way, it is the passage that Augustine, the great church father in the fourth century, picked up and read when he was saved. It was this passage. Listen again to what Paul says. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone and the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Do you hear what Paul is saying? He's saying Jesus is coming soon. Are your life a reflection of the power and the transforming power of Christ's light? Put off the works of darkness. So the question is, are you growing in holiness? Is your life more and more free from the bondage and slavery that sin brings? You know, sometimes we think that we can make peace with sin in our lives. We can control it. You know, it's one of the things about addicts. Everybody knows they're enslaved. Everybody can see they have no control over the alcohol or the drugs, but they are deluded into thinking they control their addiction. Now, it's not only true of addicts, it's true of all sinners. We imagine that there is still some sin that we can control. So let me ask you, where does darkness still live in your life? What is it that goes on when you are alone and nobody else sees, but God sees? Is the light of the world penetrating your life to the end? Paul urges us, cast off works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Walk not in darkness, but in light. And notice, to put on the armor of light is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to be Christ-like. That's the call. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Because Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, would call us, his disciples, the light of the world. How can he be the light of the world? And we be called the light of the world too? Well, where does the light of the moon come from? The moon reflects the light of the sun. How do you and I become like the light of the world, our Savior, when we reflect Him? When we are like Him, when we put away all the sin that entangles us, then our light shines and the world sees. Are you living in the light of the world? Do you follow Him? Now, to follow the light of the world and to walk having the light of life means that you will experience life in deeper and greater measure than what you can imagine. The festival I mentioned was filled with dancing around the light, a celebration of God's faithfulness and care. Joy. Those who follow the light of the world. Do not lose out. It is a lie that our sin and the evil one likes to whisper in our ear, that there is joy, more joy in sin than there is in Christ. That you're going to lose out. Your life will be less joyful if you follow Christ. Nonsense. To be free from darkness is to walk in the freedom and joy that Christ brings. Now we know it will never be perfect in this life. The struggle with our sin never ends. But when we walk in the light of the world, we know the forgiveness that he brings and the freedom he brings more and more from darkness. Because he promised us the light of life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we praise and magnify you. You know the depth of our sin and how easily we are entangled and how we imagine that there is more joy in sin than there is in you. Forgive the darkness and the folly of our minds. And will you come and remind us once again that the life we desire, the life we were made for, the life in fellowship with you, is the life that comes through Christ alone. We thank you that you are the light of this world. May we follow you so that we would walk not in darkness, but have the light of life. May we more and more put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We pray this, Lord, for your honor and glory, in Jesus' name, amen.